So when I invested in that and learning first the money management, the money mindset, oh my gosh, money and wealth can be accessible to me. Like I come from a family where my parents had me when they were teenagers, and my dad is Mexican and he came from a poorer family. And so it just, there was no talks of money. I was the first to go to college and all these things.
You are listening to the Say Hola Well podcast, a show dedicated to destigmatize the idea of wanting more money. More money, more options for you, your family, and our community to become financially free. I am your host, Lucy King. I am on a mission to help decolonize wealth for Latinas, and here is how I do it. I talk about building generational wealth through a holistic lens. I give you the strategies, the mindset, and the ideas to create generational wealth and also break away from a culture of silence. Ya sabes, the belief that in our cultura, no se habla de dinero. We don't talk about money. I am a first-gen investor who went from believing I had to work mentally and physically hard for money to now having multiple investment accounts and run a business that I love. I am a mom, a wife, speaker, and author, ready to help you create wealth beyond your ancestors' wildest dreams. Welcome to the Say Hola Well podcast. Before we dive into today's episode, I want to remind you to follow us on social if you are loving the podcast, want to build community, and you want to learn creative ways to increase your income. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, and of course on our website at www.sayholawell.com. If you feel inspired by any of the episodes, it will mean the world to me if you can leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. This is how other mujeres find us. Hi, Geneva. Thank you so much for coming to the Say Hola Well podcast. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here to talk about all things PR and how to use it to grow your business. But before I get there, I would like to start by asking you, how did you get started in PR and why are you so passionate about it?
Yeah, I got started in PR during COVID, like so many of us. I was on my sailboat. I live on a sailboat in San Diego, and was on my sailboat, and I just felt a little like I'm interested in starting my own business during this time. It was a little bit slower, and I started it. And I actually started as a virtual assistant and had some of my clients say, "Hey, I want to be featured. Can you figure out how to get me featured?" And I was like, "I'll do anything. Sure, I'll figure it out." And I soon became so passionate about it. I was getting results really quickly. My client was in BBC in 2 months. And I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, I'm enjoying this. And I also learned the statistic that about 80% of those that are featured are white men. And I just really became passionate about trying to get more women featured, more women being looked at as the expert that a lot of press was looking for. And so that's what brought me along on this journey.
I love how you just touched on two topics. One, you were very audacious in terms of somebody give you, quote unquote, the task of help me get featured and you just run with it. You're like, okay, I'm going to figure it out. That turned to be a very profitable business that now you run, and you're also serving women, which to me is what a full circle moment for you to also empower other people through PR. Now, some of the listeners have an online business right now, and they, when they think about PR, and this is also a belief that I have, by the way, so maybe you can help me debunk it, is that in order to be featured, you have to be white and you have to be an expert, or even you have to have these like Harvard degree. What are your thoughts on that?
It's wrong. It's incorrect. And I have the receipts to prove it, because a lot of my clients are not white and they do not have a ton of followers. And to give a number to that, less than 5,000 even at points, and they don't make a certain monetary number. It's not like they're at seven figures. So there's really no set requirement to this. The only requirement is you need to know your stuff and know you're an expert in your specific field and know which field you want to be the known expert in. That's the requirement. When I'm talking to clients on sales calls, they're like, how do I know I'm ready? And that's something that I just talk about, is that's really the only requirement, and being able to pitch yourself then well to get those features.
In terms of monetizing your story and pitching yourself to get featured on magazines, and I know you have clients that have been featured in Forbes, New York Times, I can just keep dropping names, but you really have shown that it's possible for a woman, especially a woman of color, like any woman, but women of color, to be on these huge news outlets. What does the pitching process look like? Because you talk about feeling an expert or knowing that you're an expert, but for some of us as first-gen entrepreneurs, that idea or that identity of, am I an expert, kind of comes up a lot, right? So how do you help your clients navigate through that mindset drama or mindset baggage of, am I really an expert?
Yeah, this is a really good question and something that I navigated in my business as well at the start. Am I an expert in PR? And it was just like, I am the expert, right? Choosing that. And that was the first step, and something that I tell my clients at first. Okay, we are going to say now, we are on the journey of telling the world now you're the expert. We have decided this is what you're going to be the expert in. We're on this journey now. And so when we start pitching, we really think about, okay, what are the things that can show that you are the expert? That does not need to be monetary. That does not need to be Harvard degrees and things like that, or certain certifications. It can be client results, right? Things along that line. And then later on, as you get features, it can also be those features now being used to show that you're the expert. So really, it's just at the beginning, making the decision, I want to be the known expert in this. How do I become the known expert then? And then I come in and say, okay, we are it. Then now we're going to go out and tell the world why. And that's really it, which makes it sound so simple. Like, you're probably like, Geneva, so I just decide. And yeah, it's really just on sales calls. I'm doing a lot of, is this what you want to be the known expert in? Great. Here's how we're going to go get that outside of what you've already decided. Because your clients know you're the expert. They're already in your little room. They already see you doing the work. No, you're the expert. It's just now time for us to take that outside of it. So keeping in mind, you are already known as the expert to many people.
I love that. And I always say building wealth is also a decision, right? Sometimes we think, well, do I really want to start? Should I wait? And it's no, it's just make a decision. You want to start and then that's it, right? So thank you for sharing that. Now, during this conversation, you mentioned the fact that you meet with your clients and then you talk about, do you want to be featured, right? Is there any mindset drama that comes with your clients in terms of like visibility? Because I know that can also be so daunting for someone who is just getting started. How do you walk your clients through the process of it's safe to be visible?
Yeah, I think that when they start to see that it's not some big thing that they're now going to all of a sudden need to be doing these TV appearances, or I think people start to fear it's going to be this huge thing and they need to be like media ready. And it's, we take this slowly, and features snowball on each other. So we'll start out with maybe a smaller feature, and then that will turn into a bigger one. And it's a process of growth, and it happens. It'll happen quickly, typically, especially if you're ready for it. But it's not like today you need to be ready to be on Good Morning America. We can take this as slow as you want and things like that. And then I also have some clients on the other end that are like, I want to be on Good Morning America today. And I also remind them that we want to make sure we have all types of press, medium to large. And so there's two ends of the mindset things that we really have to look at and make sure that they see the power of both, and that they're safe in this, and that they don't need to be media trained all of a sudden.
Yes, because with running a business comes so many tasks, so many skills that we need to learn, which brings me back to my next question. How do you know when it's time for you to invest in PR to grow your business?
This is such a good question, and one that I love to answer, because it's usually an exciting time in your business, right? You have some clients and things like that. You know about which field, or maybe one to two fields, you want to be known in, and you are at that point where you want to either scale monetarily, scale agency-wise, scale in, now you want to do speaking engagements, things like that. So you're almost at this this stepping off point, this jumping off point. And you also know now what your core things you want to be known for, because I'll tell clients, hey, we're not ready, if they come in and they have 15 different offers that were all over the place. And I'm like, I want you to come in when you're ready to be known in the area you want to be known in. So that's how, when you're ready to jump off and you know what you want to be the expert in.
I love that. Now, we're very mindful of investments, right? Like, we want to make investments that have a return. Of course, not everything has a return, but when it comes to PR and the results that you have given to your clients, I know you, and I know that you have delivered amazing results. But for someone who is investing in your program, which we can talk about that, how can they measure the return on investment? Do you have a specific deadline where you're like, you're going to get featured in X amount of days or months, or how does that look like for you?
100% of my clients get featured in the first 30 days. And that's my program promise. And I've had 100% success rate with that in the 3 years that I have been specifically focusing on PR. So they can expect that. And then
tell us about your program, because we want to talk about it, right? Because someone who's ready to make the investment, like, what does that look like for them in terms of how can they leverage that investment to continue to grow their business?
Yeah. So what it will look like is, you come in, we talk together, make sure it's a great fit for you, and then you're ready to go. We do an onboarding questionnaire so I can get all the information and a short onboarding call. Now, the purpose of this is I am trying to pull everything out of you that I could possibly pitch. I love this onboarding call because people end up telling me like, oh yeah, Netflix reached out to me and I'm going to try to talk about this thing on Netflix. And I'm just like, why didn't we know about this in the onboarding form? So I just love these calls. Or they'll tell me, I had someone in one recently that was like, Beyonce's mom shared my content. And I was like, what? Like, why didn't I know about it? So it's really fun. So we onboard, then I am the one doing all of the pitching, the scheduling of the podcast, the speaking. You are really just showing up to the podcast interviews or speaking interviews. And then you're also getting the live links to articles. So once we've done the onboarding, you're really just seeing the results and showing up to any interviews. Sometimes press will need an interview in a big place like New York Times. But overall, I'm doing all the back end, the scheduling, like I mentioned, applications to awards, looking out for grants for your business, the whole picture.
I love that. And I feel like I just learned a couple of things, or maybe three, that I didn't know you were doing, which is fascinating to me. Just having that support as a small business owner, utilizing our revenue to give back to a women-owned business like yours, and having that help and the knowledge, right? Because I know myself as a first-gen Latina, I have been conditioned to do it all. And now I'm learning that, no, I don't have to do it all. I have to delegate. I have to invest, not just in the stock market, of course, which I love, but also I have to invest in women-owned businesses because we're better together. I love that you just share everything that you do. So thank you so much.
If this podcast resonates with you and you are ready to embrace becoming financially free and build generational wealth, I would like to invite you to apply to work with me privately. It is the most intimate way to connect with me, and you will be fully supported to achieve your financial goals once and for all. Here's what past clients have said about working with me. One of my clients said, I feel confident in ways I can invest my money. You have helped me connect the dots on how investing truly works. It is simple, fun, and less scary than I thought. Another client said, I have so much clarity on the mindset blockers that were holding me back from increasing my wealth. And many of my clients have said that investing in financial coaching has been one of the best investments they ever made. If you are ready to see these mujeres and their beautiful faces, go ahead and head over to my Instagram account so you can hear it directly from them. And make sure that you click on the highlights under results. And if you feel inspired, go ahead and schedule a call today using the link in the show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
Now, you talk about the conversations that you have with your clients, how you like to get to know them at a deeper level. How do you work with clients who have a story that is just so emotional that they're like, I know it's going to help me grow my audience. I know it's going to help me really connect with the audience, but they're like, oh, this story is safe to share. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm sharing here.
Yeah, just some of those more sensitive topics. There, I make sure in our onboarding call and along the way as I'm pitching, when it is a more sensitive topic, I'm reaching out to them, hey, are you okay with this angle? And we've already pre-talked about it in the beginning too, where they know. So I do have some clients where they're like, I'm okay talking about this, but I want to stay away from the specifics of this part. Or I have one client that she was a fertility coach. And so she really was able to navigate with me which part of her own fertility journey she wanted to share with the world and which part she wasn't ready yet to. And so we just frame that in a way that could speak to people because that is her movement, but also could make her feel safe, make her feel like she could slowly maybe feel more ready and keep some parts private because maybe parts of our story we don't want to share. We want to keep private long term.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to ask you about your journey as an entrepreneur and now also as someone who is investing, because I know you're investing. So you are traveling between two countries right now, between you're in Mexico, you're also here in the US, but how does that look like for you in terms of how are you managing your business? You're also a mom, if I'm correct, you have a daughter who is very young, like my daughters. How do you navigate motherhood and entrepreneurship?
Oh man, it's a journey, right? But yeah, I really just understand that one, it's not going to look like a normal 9 to 5. I think I really had to let that go. I was a teacher for 10 years prior. And so I was used to the like Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, holidays off situation. And not that I don't have boundaries around that, but I had to learn that maybe I'm going to work later at night one night, but I got to spend the day doing this with her. Or maybe I'm going to work a weekend, but for example, she was sick this last week, but I know that I was able to be there for her and things like that. So there's almost this like balancing or rewriting that had to go on there. And then I also have support. Being on the sailboat, my husband is also home all the time as well. So I do have that support and that ability to do that, which is different than I think a lot of people, maybe their spouse or their partner isn't there. And so that really helps out a lot on that regard, being able to navigate it.
I love that. Now let's talk about money because we talk about money on these podcasts. What are some investments that you made in yourself that you feel that have paid off already or that they're going to be paying off in the long run?
I'm the breadwinner of my family and that felt like a lot of pressure. And I was just in this mind spin and everything felt so high stakes. It was hard and it was affecting my sales. It wasn't great. So when I invested in that and learning first the money management, the money mindset, oh my gosh, money and wealth can be accessible to me. Like I come from a family where my parents had me when they were teenagers and my dad is Mexican and he came from a poorer family. And so there was no talks of money. I was the first to go to college and all these things. You're allowed to feel like wealth is attainable. You already have these investments. Like this can happen for you as well. And that just always felt, oh, that's someone else's conversation. That's not me. So that just hands down was an incredible investment for me. Big changer.
My journey of wealth building has come from, so I don't think I share with you this story, but maybe I'll share it for those of you that are listening again that are new to the podcast. So I was denied access to financial advice after I paid off $220,000 in a student loan debt combined with my husband. That was our next move. Oh, let's start building wealth. So I learned about the stock market by accident on a finance class through my MBA program. And then after that, I walked into a financial advisor office and I said, hey, I want to start investing. I paid off my debt. I'm debt free. And then she said, what do you have $100,000 to start? And I said, I don't. And she goes, come back when you do. And I just feel like a slap on the face. I went and looked for another second opinion. And she told me the same. And she's, yeah, I would love to help you come back when you have 100,000. And then I just asked him out of curiosity, how many women do you help that are Latina or women of color? And she just looked at me in the eye and said, oh, I don't seek those demographics. And so that's when I decided that I was going to learn how investing and building works so I can teach it to myself, teach it to my family members. And then when COVID hit, that's when I saw the big need of nobody's having these conversations with their family or even like employers are not teaching people about the skill of money management. And so that's how my business was born out of just being denied access and then seeing my community suffer this lack of financial stability. And so everything that I've learned, I've been teaching myself, reading books. Of course, later on, I hired mentors that were white men or black men that start teaching me like a little bit more deeper in the stock market. But then I was like, I want to become the expert on these now.
And I would say the investment that I think has definitely given me a big return would be investing in being in that community, being around other women. And I feel sometimes like an imposter because I don't look like a woman of color, but I'm actually half Mexican. And so I think just being in that community with other women that came from other similar kind of backgrounds and things like that was also powerful, as well as other breadwinners.
You talk about you don't look like a woman of color, but I always say that when you start building wealth, I think the color of your skin doesn't matter. If you're a woman, you're welcome. I coach some men and I don't really focus my marketing on, hey, if you're a man, I can help you. I primarily market to Latinas, but I do have clients that are white women. I have some clients that are men, like Latino men. I have a white man too. And so when it comes to building your business and your brand, of course you want to niche down, but you don't really have to tell people that you don't look a certain way, I'm not going to help you, right? And so like for me, when I'm in the mastermind that we're part of, I'm never thinking of, oh, why are they here? I'm like, no, they're here because they have the knowledge, they have the expertise, and we're going to rise together. So thank you for sharing about your investments. Now, Geneva, if someone was ready to start their PR journey, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me at my website, genevablissmedia.com, or on Instagram, I'm also Geneva Bliss Media. So you could send me a DM there also.
Thank you. And please make sure that you check the show notes to get access to her Instagram directly. And before I let you go, can you tell us what is your definition of wealth?
Yeah, my definition of wealth would probably be being able to make decisions without money being the decision maker, the primary decision maker. So if you're thinking about your life, your next step, money not being the one that you have to do this. I think that's wealth.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast. It has been a pleasure. And I just cannot wait to share your expertise with the Say Hola Wealth community. And congrats on investing in yourself, investing in your wealth building journey, because we definitely need more women to become wealthy.
I'm so happy I could be here.
What if I told you there is a way to get paid for the skills, knowledge, and the expertise you already have? Introducing Jefas and Wealth, a private offer for the beginner and aspiring coach who wants to build a business where they can make money while pursuing financial freedom and, of course, create more impact in our community. There are a million ways to make a million, and you might be sitting on the best idea that you can monetize. If you are ready to learn more, make sure you check the link in the show notes. On the Say Hola Wealth podcast and associated entities, all information provided is for general information purposes and it does not constitute legal, accounting, tax, or other legal advice. Listeners should not act upon the content information without seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professionals. We assume no responsibility for the information contained on this podcast and associated entities and disclaim all liabilities with respect to such information, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracy, omissions, misleading, or defamatory statement. Usage of this podcast and associated content constitute an explicit understanding of acceptance of the terms of this disclaimer.